Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's speaker is Sally Norman.
Hello. I'm Pete's wife. Which Pete?
I'm Sally's husband.
That one. Doesn't normally happen that way around. It's very, very rare that we're in the same place at the same time doing what we're good at. So it's quite an unusual weekend for us. Fabulous. Where do we begin? Well, we begin with this. That's a good place to start. God's only given me 2 points, which is very rare for me. And so you might get out on time. You never know. But then I did work for Pastor Paul for a lot of years, so don't get your hopes too high. Okay, I'm going to read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the part about the body of Christ. It's a lot of words, and if you've got different versions, it might be easier if you just listen to it. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it starts at verse 12. That whole section. But I'm going to start at verse 21, because there's so much of it, and it's just a small part of what God wants to say this morning. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, I'd be completely honest with you. I've heard this passage preached on countless times. I've been a Christian a very long time. And I've understood it at a level of the fact that it's about unity. And that's about it, really, to be completely honest. And I conjures lots of pictures of body parts, you know. For those of you that were there yesterday, eyeballs and ear holes. Maybe parts of the body that have different functions in the worship team. But God's been speaking to me about it. He's been speaking to me about it through myself and through things I've been seeing. And that how when God makes a body together as a church, now we're talking, he's using the illustration, you understand, that you have the bits of the body are all different. The bits of our body do different things. We've got the thinking bit, and we've got the hairy bit, and the seeing bit, and the creative bit, and the other bits. And but you need all of them. There isn't a bit of your body that you don't need. And that for many years, they thought that the tailbone, the little bone that's left over from is not necessary, but then they discovered that it is necessary because it actually anchors everything inside in the right place. And so if you don't have one, you can have, you know, if you have to have it removed for any reason, you can have big problems. So there isn't a part of your body that's unnecessary. God's got it sorted, and you are the body of Christ. There isn't a part of you that is unnecessary. Yeah, not one of you is unnecessary to the work that God is doing in this town. Every single one of you is important and valued, and actually it says they're of equal value. Okay, the loud ones are not more important. The ones that dance around a lot at the front are not more important. We are the body of Christ. Okay, and then collectively we make the body of Christ all over the country, all over the world. But here in this place, you are the body of Christ. And God has been speaking to me through Strictly Come Dancing. Okay? Because I was watching the dancers, and I was thinking, I wish I could do that. You know, just to have the physical stamina to get down steps without falling over, and then to present myself at the bottom in a neat and orderly way would be a joy. As opposed to clunking down and just moving my own. It's me. And I just thought about how, I was just thinking about how they showed you one of those fillers for the, if you're addicted to Strictly Come Dancing as I was, it was on BBC Two in the evenings with Claudia Winkleman, yes. Best half hour television there was over Christmas period. Anyway, during that period of time, they did, to fill the time when they weren't being sarcastic about things, they would do little biops of the dancers, and they showed you a couple of them and how they started with their photographs of their first trophies. And they were not in school, and they were winning trophies. And then they won trophy after trophy, became European champions, world champions, etc., 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 etc. So they reached the level. And if any of you take your children to any lessons or have ever been to any lessons like that, it is all-consuming. Dance lessons for 12-year-olds, you know, every night of the week, if they're really, that's where they're going. They've poured their lives to become who they are. And God started to speak to me about how who we are, in the part that we are in the body of Christ, started from before born. We were born, because God knew you before you were born. And who you are now is not an accident. And the gifts and the talents that you have are not a mistake. So if you think you don't have anything to offer here, you're wrong. Because God has known you since before you were born, and he knew you'd be here now. Yes. Now, when I was a child, I was always putting on shows, and I was always making things, and I was always bossing all the other children about in the street. Yeah. And now I'm a grown-up, but I'm always putting on shows, and I'm bossing all the people around the church, and I'm always making things with sequins. And that's my job. But I am who I am. Yeah? My husband was one of those children that fiddled around with a guitar in his bedroom instead of going out to play football, and then became a pub singer, didn't he, darling? Yeah. If you look at it at one level, and then God took who he is and who he had become and turned it and refined it and made him a worship leader. Yeah, God took me and made me and refined me and made me a whatever it is I do, children's worker thing. So you need to look for the clues to who you are in the body from who you are.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to have somebody bring a prophetic word about you're going to be a teacher and apostle to the nations and come up the front and be prayed for. Just look at who you are. Look around your house. Look at what you do with your spare time. Look at what your interests and hobbies are. Look at who you are, and God will show you what you are to be in the body.
Yeah.
Are you a great cake maker? Do you love having people to stay? Do you love chatting over a cup of coffee and a packet of Hobnobs?
Yes.
Well then, you are probably an evangelist. To your friends, you can make cake and go around, and you don't have to come in with a 16-point sermon. You just have to come in with the love of Jesus in your heart and a cake.
Yeah,
and sit down with somebody, a cup of coffee, and just talk about what you do and who you are. Please excuse my son stealing the show. He can't wait to be up here. As soon as he can speak, he probably will take over from the parents, won't he? Well, that's actually just point one, really. So there's only one more point to go, so you can be encouraged by that. But God wants you to be encouraged that who you are is so precious to him, and what you are and how you spend your time, what you've become, is who he wants you to be. And he can refine and show you how what you think is just you is actually just him for this congregation and now. Okay? And if you can't read the clues, find somebody else to read the clues, because sometimes it's easy for somebody else to see the clues than you, because you think it's just little old you. But there's nothing little and there's nothing old about you, because the King of Kings lives inside of you. And who you are and what you have is magnificent. And you need to understand that, believe it, and get it out there. Yeah? So that you're pulling together. And then, if one of you falls flat on your face, you can all cry together. And then when one of you has a victory, you can all rejoice together, because you are the body. And you've got all the bits you need. Yeah? Okay, that really is just point one. Which is exciting. Move on to point two. Okay. So how do we tackle point two? Refining was the word I used. That God wants to refine who you are and your character and who you are. And God's been challenging me this weekend. I need my other book, because I didn't copy it out in the end. About your heart and what's in your heart. Before we came, God gave me a picture of a clam, and I think it was a clam. I'm not really into fish and seafood particularly, but it was a flat shell thing like that, as opposed to an oyster, which in my imagination, even if it's true or not, it was like that. A clam is like that, and an oyster is like that. And God was taking clams and opening them, and there was pearls inside. But pearls don't grow in clams, they grow in oysters. Yeah, and that's what God was, that was what God was saying about you, is that some of you think that there's nothing special going on inside, there's nothing there. and you've got nothing to give. But God says, you think it looks flat, and actually it does look flat from the outside, but when I open it up and show you what's inside, there's a pearl. Yeah? Right. This is Romans 6:16, but I'm going to read it from the Living Version, if I can find it, because I haven't got the Living Version with me. I've got my Living Light with me, which has got little bits of the Living Version in it. Take me a minute to find it. Here we go, Romans 6:16. Don't you realise that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. And the one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. That's quite a change of tack. I'll read it again. Don't you realise that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin, which comes with death, or else obedience, which will come with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. And there's a really simple question now. What you plant, I wrote down, what you plant grows. If you plant corn, you get corn. Yeah? You're with me so far? It's a bit complicated. Yes. If you plant strawberries, you get strawberries. Well, you get strawberry bushes and you get strawberries eventually. If you plant melons, you get melons. You get the thing, yeah? Excuse me, I'm used to talking to children. So if you plant something in your heart, a seed, you're going to grow in your life the fruit of that seed. So what are you planting in your heart? At the moment. By what you watch, by who you spend your time with, by what you allow yourself to read in the newspaper that's left at work in coffee break, by what you see on the internet, by just what you think about other people. Because those tiny, tiny seeds in your heart, you are in control of. Yeah. Okay, you don't. It's not a magical, mystical thing that God sorts out for you. It's you plant it, it grows. Just as simple as the silly, simple thing about the melons and the corn. That's why I said it. Just as simple as what you put there grows. Okay. Now I know that you know this, but that's what God said to me to say to you. It's time to prune your own heart. Yeah. Okay? It's time for you to take responsibility for what you've grown in your own heart. Uh-huh. And if you're having a problem with something that you know is not of God in your life, it's time to look at your heart and see whether you actually planted the seed yourself. Yes. Because we have to grow up into taking responsibility for our walk. Yeah, it's not the church leadership's responsibility. It's not actually, this is kind of, could think I'm heretical because I'm going to say it's not God's responsibility, because of course it is, because God loves you and he's your father, and he will come and by faith he will uproot what's in your heart, he will forgive you, and he makes you holy because of what Jesus did on the cross. But you have a responsibility to walk and to grow and to become mature by pruning your own heart. Yeah, by digging out what you've let in there by mistake. And we all do it. We all let lies in by mistake. We all let exaggeration in by mistake. We all let judgment in by mistake. We all let anger in. We all do it. Even there's nobody that doesn't do it. The most spiritual person you know makes mistakes. But what the knack is going, oh, did it. Right. Can't just leave it. Got to go and do something about it. I've got to dig it up. I've got to get it out. I've got to repent of it. I've got to get it broken. I have got to take action on this to change it.
Yeah. Amen.
And that involves what Pastor Paul prophesied earlier. Daily, a time with God. Daily, a checking over your cabbage patch, your heart, checking it out. And seeing what you've allowed in there and dealing with what you find, not pretending it will go away because you've got 1,000 other things today. And of course, God doesn't really mean that you should stop watching that TV program. Well, a word about TV. We have different
massively different likes and dislikes on TV. And we've discovered that each of us have a different area of weakness in terms of television that upsets us. Like I can watch documentaries about, particularly Time Team, I love Time Team, but documentaries about digging up things and people and real life tragedy, and it doesn't affect me at all. I find it fascinating, the interest of how it's happened and what's going on. I really get into it, and it doesn't affect my spirit, and I'm just interested. Pete sees me watching a programme. There's a programme recently about the reconstruction of a trench from the First World War and the lives of the people that had been in that trench. And I just found it so fascinating. Pete found it upsetting because they were real people and it disturbed his spirit. And then we watch a movie, which is a fantasy story, and something might happen in it, and I'll be like, oh, I can't watch that. That's really affecting me. I'm going to carry that emotion of that character all day. And he's like, it's a movie. So for everybody, I can't say, don't watch this, don't watch... Well, I do with the children, but I can't... don't watch that. You're not watching Simpsons in my house because you're not. But there you are, anyway, whatever. you have to learn and understand how you guard your heart and protect your heart for you personally. It will be different than your partner. It will be different than your children. It will be different than your teenager. Different than your granny and your budgie. Just get that in for you. Yeah, okay, goldfish. Every week, J24/7, in the olden days, there used to be a reference to a goldfish. We bought you one when you left, didn't we? What are we doing for time? Not very long. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31. You don't need to turn to it. You can write it down if you want to. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognising our own condition, we would not be judged and penalty decreed. Now that's from the Living again. But basically it says, if we sort ourselves out, God doesn't have to judge us and punish us because we can get it sorted out now and then it's gone.
That's right.
Yeah, it won't affect your life now, it won't affect your eternity. But we have to searchingly examine ourselves. And you actually have to do that. It will not happen just because it's a nice idea that I've talked about today. Yeah, it will not mean that you've done it. You have to actually do it. You have to think about yourself in the right way. You have to understand what and who you are. You have to understand what needs pruning. What God does is, if it's not bearing fruit, he chops it off. If it is bearing fruit, he hacks it away. Yeah? There's no leave it to see what happens, because that's when you fall into sin and you fall into the wrong direction and it all goes pear-shaped. Yeah, God chops it off if it's not bearing fruit, and then when it is and you think you've got it all sorted, he comes in with his secateurs and he's not amiss of cutting off the actual fruit bit. And you think, oh, look, I've grown these fabulous things. And look, God goes, right, that's absolutely amazing. And as well. That's what God does. But we need to understand that that's God's process for us to grow strong and safe and free from disease, as a plant would. Yeah, you get that in the spirit. But we also have a responsibility to garden our own turf and to dig out what we're responsible for planting. And then we will grow up, because we will get rid of so much nonsense and so much time we have to spend coming and getting ourselves sorted out with somebody else, because we grew up to take responsibility for our ownness. Yeah? For being ourselves. Oh, yeah, it's a new word. From the Greek. Not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12. Everything is permissible for me, it says in the Amplified, allowable or lawful. But not all things are helpful or good for me to do. Yeah. And sometimes we can get ourselves into a place of safety because we are free and we know that our holiness has been given to us by Christ, because he won it for us. By our repentance and our turning to him, he gives us a clean, holy start. We can sometimes get a bit, it's okay, God will sort it out, be all right. Get prayed for on Sunday, be all right. I don't have to take responsibility here. But the word warns us that we do have to be responsible for our own walk and our own salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Which can be quite scary, but actually when you understand that this is what it means, it's actually, how obvious. Because this is what life is like in every other area, isn't it? You have to work everything else out, make sure everything else, you have to clean the fridge out. It's life. Yeah? Because otherwise all sorts of interesting things grow in there and you can't eat them. You could donate them to science, but I don't think they'll be interested. But you mustn't let your heart get like the inside of your fridge. Or perhaps the inside of my fridge is what we're talking about. You have to get it sorted.
Amen.
Right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. I think this was in the NIV. I looked it up. I've read, because I've been at Lampley with the children whilst the worship conference has been going on. I've been grabbing time to get the word together for this morning and just trying to hear what God is saying, because it's a really simple thing God wanted to say to us this morning. But he's been working it in me over the weekend. Believe you me, he's been working it in me over the weekend. I am a very pruned person as I stand before you this morning. Because you can't preach it unless you do it. Or allow God to do it in you. And he has been. But every time I've picked up a Bible to kind of check out the next thing God's been saying, it's been a different version because I've been in a different floor of the house. And I've had to grab whatever Bible I've got. That's why it's in the Living and the Amplified and the NIV and all that kind of thing. But we'll start with, it's 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, or face to face, it says in another version, doesn't it? Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And when I was reading it, I was thinking that I've always taken that scripture as everyone who has this hope, mystically and magically, is purified, just as he is pure. And that's true, because God does, an encounter with God purifies you. Meeting with God in worship makes, cleans you up, doesn't it? It does make you clean, and God does an incredible work. But then I read it again, and it was like everyone who has this hope in him gets off his own bottom and purifies himself.
Good.
Because he is pure and he is our example. And so that's what we should, that our knowledge of who Jesus is should make us take action in our own lives. Because we aren't just children anymore in God. We need to grow up. And I believe that the reason God is bringing this word to you is because he's going to increase your number. And there isn't going to be enough time for you to sort yourselves out and sort out the people he brings you. So you have to be ready. So you've got some advance notice from the Lord. You've had a season where God has fed you. He has spoon-fed you with delights. God has brought an outpouring of his love and his grace and his gentleness to you, and he has spoon-fed you beautiful things in your spirits. He has given you the option. I mean, whether you've come and got it or not, it's up to you, but that's what he's done. Just when you were being prayed for this morning, people came forward and being prayed for. You know, that doesn't happen everywhere. That God comes with power to help you and set you free with such an anointing as you have with the leaders that you have. God has been good to you. God has blessed you. And God is saying, okay, now is the beginning of the season where you start to rise up and be the men and women of God that you know you can step into being and that you are. So that next time around, you are the one that lays hands on people and things start to happen. And it might not be in this beautiful purple room. Might be somewhere normal, like in real life. but that's the process that God is about to lead you into. It's stand up in who you are, mighty men and women of God, and sort out your turf, And get ready, because you have something to give. Because ever since before you were born, God was making you who you are for such a time as this. Yeah? He was making you the part of the body that you are to be to fulfill the next phase of what God is going to do here. And I don't have anything else to say. Because you've got to take it and run with it and go with it and get on with it, and so have I.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.